Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to be in the house of God this morning. To all the saints of God that are here, and for all of you that are watching here this morning, we greet you in Jesus' name. For all of you that are tuning in for the first time, please like us or share us on Facebook so we can get the word out. And we're just in a very different situation here right now, but it's not going to be forever. And we're hoping here in a few weeks, just a couple of weeks, that we may be able to start some sort of service. And we need to be praying about that. I can't wait to come to the house of God and worship the Lord. I want to remind everyone, Sunday, 9 o'clock is Sunday school. And of course, 10 o'clock, here we are for Sunday school as well. And then Wednesday night at 7:30, there will be service here. And so we want to remind you of that as well. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord this morning. And we want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, and verse 20 and 21. And if you'll read with me this morning, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." When we think about this, the things of this world are all visible. Most things in this world are visible. And they're visible to the point that we have come to rely on those things that are visible, and they have become the only reality in life. And if we can't prove it, then it doesn't exist. And science is this way. It has done much good, but the underlying premise of science is not faith, it is sight. And yet the scripture gives us a different concept or a different understanding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that's what we're looking for, is that which is eternal. And if we can see and understand the reality of this and come to the understanding that the things which are not seen are more real than the things that we see, we'll understand a little bit more about the kingdom of God. In fact, the unseen things of God are the things that are going to last forever, but the things that we see are going to pass away very quickly. Another scripture along that line is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 through 14. And Peter is writing about the things that we see and the things that we cannot see as well. But in verse 9, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And so we have the word from the Lord this morning, a scripture there, along with many other scriptures in the Word of God, that led us to know that all the things that we see, all the things that we're working for, all the things that are upon us right now, and that which is to come is going to be burned up and it's going to be gone. But the things of God will last forever. That's the beauty of serving God and living for the Lord. And along these lines, Jesus was pressed by the religious people about this Messiah that they believed was going to come and would come, and was there right in their midst. And they had a particular belief that the Messiah was going to come and establish a kingdom, a visible kingdom on this earth, a kingdom with a temple, a kingdom with priests and leaders, and that this Messiah would rule the whole world. And that day will come, but not at the time of Christ. And they thought that they were the ones, that they were going to be the ones that would be the leaders and the rulers of this kingdom that the Messiah would bring to come to pass. And even though the Lord had sent them prophets and spiritual men, they rejected them because the prophets and the wise men came and called for repentance, but they felt like they needed no repentance. We need repentance today. And they were used to a kingdom with a literal temple and a literal city of God, and they couldn't understand this invisible kingdom. And so the scripture that we read this morning in Luke chapter 17, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, verse 20, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, you won't see it. It's not a visible kingdom. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And so it's the will of God that we not have the kingdom of God on the outside of us as it was in the Old Testament, but a new kingdom that is on the inside. And of course, we know today that Jesus was talking about an experience that would soon come that would open up the doors of salvation. Praise God for his salvation. And that salvation was spoken of by the Old Testament prophet Joel. And let's look at it in the book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 through 31. Scripture says, and it shall come to pass that afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And so what Joel was prophesying about was a day. In fact, it shall come to pass afterward. Another place it says, and it shall come to pass at the end, or the end time, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And of course, Jesus spoke of this baptism of the Spirit, excuse me, in John chapter 3 and verse 5. And it says that Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so the Spirit is not something that we can see, but the flesh is something that we can see. And it is heavenly, not earthly. And it is spiritual, not fleshly. It is eternal, not temporary. And it would be invisible and not visible. And so the kingdom of God is within us through the Spirit, through the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. And when he was speaking about this baptism of the Spirit, in which every person who is born of the water and the Spirit, that we would have the kingdom of God within us. Praise God. We can take him to school with us. We can take him to work with us. We can take him with us wherever we go. Thank God for that. And he told his disciples just before he left this earth in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so what he was telling them was that it is not good for you that I stay, but it's better for you if I go. And he said, if I don't go, then the Holy Ghost or the Spirit will not come. In other words, Jesus was telling his disciples that what they needed was not an external Savior. What they needed was an internal Savior. And so he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father until they were endued or filled with power from on high. And that's what we need today, is the power that comes down from on high. And it's not in this, that, or the other. It's in the kingdom of God today. And so they obeyed him in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And there it is again. They were thinking that this was an external visible kingdom. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But then he turns the table here and he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And by the way, he's coming back in the clouds to take his people away. And I'm looking forward to that day. The disciples were hungry for a kingdom of God. They were hungry for an establishment of a governmental rule upon the earth, in which Jesus Christ would be the ruler. But it was not time for that. But it was time for the kingdom of God to come and indwell and be inside of men and women, boys and girls. The kingdom of God is not with observation, but the kingdom of God is supposed to be in you. And the kingdom of God came. That was Acts chapter 1 that we read. But then in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1 through 4, the kingdom of God came to this world, praise God. And when it came with a big bang. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this was the first birthday, or the birthday of the first church and the original church. And this is how the Spirit of God was poured out. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And John said, he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it came with a mighty rushing wind. And they all began to speak in languages that they didn't understand. And it set them on fire with God. And they literally turned their world upside down. And Peter began to preach. In fact, there were people that were on the outside looking in. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, if you get a chance to go, you need to go. And when you go, you'll see that all the streets are made of stone in the old city. All the walls, the apartments, and the buildings are high walls on either side of the streets with just enough room for one car to go through. And I can just imagine what was taking place in this upper room where 120 people were speaking in tongues, and they were shouting and they were praising God. They were giving God glory out loud. It wasn't dead, dry, dull, or boring, but it was the kingdom of God in its reality and in its manifestation in this upper room. And so people gathered around and they said, "What's going on here? Are these people drunk? Are they having a party early in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning?" And so Peter had to stand up and explain to the people what was actually happening here at this situation. And it is in verse 14 of chapter 2. "Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day," roughly 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is that." Now, if you can get a hold of those two words, he pointed to those that were praying and shouting and worshiping God and speaking in other tongues. And he pointed to them and he said, "This is that." And he reached back into the Old Testament, into a familiar verse that we just read, and it was Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days." Notice in Joel it said afterward, but here it says in the last days. And we know we are living in the last days because of the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. And it's been almost 2,000 years. How close are we today? My friend, we're very, very close to the end of this age. And he went on and said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaids I will pour it out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And so Peter pointed to what was happening on the day of Pentecost, and then he said, "This is that which Joel prophesied." And Joel said that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly," this is an inward kingdom that we're talking about this morning, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And if there's anything we need today, more than anything, we need those rivers of living water flowing through us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, if we go down a little bit further in the same chapter, in verse 37, the people that were listening to the apostle, when they heard this, when they heard that they were the ones that had crucified the Messiah, they were pricked in their heart. They were condemned. They were convicted. They felt the feeling of guilt in their heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And so the answer is very important, because it wasn't just for them, as some people say, but it's for all generations. And I'll prove that to you this morning. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission," that means the blotting out, the washing away of sins, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, before the kingdom can get in within us, we must repent of those things that are on the inside of us that are not able to cohabitate with the Spirit of God. We must clean out the inside. The inside must be clean before the Spirit of God can come in and dwell in us on a long-term basis. And so we must repent. That means to turn from our sins and go in the direction of righteousness and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that we are buried with him by baptism. And so when we are baptized in the name of the Messiah, when we are baptized in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, then our sins are buried with him. Praise God. Whatever you've done in your life, it can be buried, never to come back again. Others might remember, but God will never remember, and that's the most important thing. Then he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's that invisible kingdom. The kingdom of God is not with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. Praise God. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, now here's, I'm going to prove it's for us here today. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jew and Gentile, any race, creed, any people can have this experience with God. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And he went on, and the people that gladly received this were baptized, and there were about 3,000 of them. I need to ask the question this morning before I finish. What's within you this morning? What is it that resides on the inside of you? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it the things of God? Or is it the kingdom of this world and the things of this world? For you see, there are many things that settle into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. There are many today that have been abused, many today that have been forsaken by friends, many today are depressed or overcome by financial distress. And Jesus spoke to some spiritually empty people and told them, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into that invisible kingdom of God. And so we are looking at a time right now where I don't have to prophesy, but it's going to come to pass. It is a financial disaster that is about to come upon our world. I know there are many that are talking positive and all of that, but we are looking very, very soon, more quickly, I think, than anybody realizes. We are looking at a one-world digital currency that is about to take place in our world. And every man, woman, boy, and girl will have to make a choice who they are going to live for, what kingdom they're going to be a part of. I don't know about you this morning, but I choose to be a part of the kingdom of God and the things of God. The scripture talks about not laying up treasures on this earth, but laying up treasures in heaven. There's some things that can't be taken away from us. They can take away our money. They can take away our freedoms. They can take away a lot of things. But there's one thing that nobody can take from you, and that's the kingdom of God that's within you. Jesus came to Nazareth, his hometown, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. If you'll turn with me this morning. And he came to the local church. They call it a synagogue. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, who is this that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon? He was actually reading the prophecy about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Sounds exciting to me. Liberty to them that are bruised, recovering of sight to the blind, deliverance to the captives, and to heal the brokenhearted. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God, and that's what he wants to do for each and every one of us. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son? We know him with a hammer and a saw, but here he is saying that this day the scripture was being fulfilled in him." And so the scriptures that he read is actually in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And I will finish with this scripture here this morning. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." This is Isaiah prophesying about the incident that we just read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God." Now look at this. "To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Here's the exchange that we can have when we come to God. "To give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning or weeping, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And this morning, if all you have is mourning, if all you have is ashes, if all you have is a spirit of heaviness, I want you to know there is another kingdom that you can have on the inside. And it's not a kingdom that you can see, but it is just as real as the air that we breathe. We cannot live without this air, and we cannot live without the kingdom of God on the inside of us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for truth this morning, for repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the presence of God that will go with us wherever we go. I pray for everyone that's listening this morning, all the children, all the adults, all of the young people. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to see and to understand the importance of having the kingdom of God within us. For without your kingdom, we have only one other choice, and that is the kingdom of this world, in which there is nothing but sin and death. For the world is going to pass away, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. I thank you for everyone that's listening this morning, everyone that's going to be listening later, and I'm asking you to cover us with your grace, protect the church, lay your hand upon the saints this morning, and I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. I want to remind everyone of the prayer requests. Sister Tucker, Lula Tucker, has passed away, And we want to remember the family. There's a funeral tomorrow in Emporia at 11 o'clock. If you're predisposed to be able to come and be a part of that. But we want to remember her husband, Robert, Brother Tucker, especially in our prayers, and their two children and their grandchildren. And of course, again, we want to pray for our shut-ins, anyone that's on lockdown. I can't imagine what that would be like. At least some of us can go outside and work in the yard or do things like that. But some of these folks are really just almost stuck in one room, and they have to stay there until this is all over. And it's really a very difficult thing. So let's remember these folks in our prayers and ask the Lord to help them. I want to give us the scripture for the week, Psalm chapter 23, the whole chapter. And I know that there are six verses here, but it fits with where we're at today in this situation. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters." That's what we need. "He restoreth my soul." If you need restoration today, He has it for you. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." If you want to know truth, the Lord is the one who will give it to you. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We're not going to be afraid of this. "For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." Look at this, "my cup runneth over," more than what we need. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God." I'll dwell in the kingdom of God forever. For the day is coming, friend, and it's coming very, very soon, that the Lord is going to catch His people up from this world, and we're going to ever be with the Lord. You want to make it in that rapture that's going to take place. Because once the rapture takes place, the wrath of God and the tribulation of God is going to come upon this world, because the earth is heavy with iniquity. The earth is heavy with sin. We talk about financial bubbles, and there is a tremendous debt bubble right now that is about to burst. There is a tremendous bubble in many, many different areas. But I would say this morning, America is sick with a moral bubble. And what we need to do is to seek God and to draw close to God every day. God bless you this morning. Thank you for coming. And let's pray for these elderly and those that are shut in before we finish. Pray with me wherever you're at. Lord, we pray for the Tucker family, that Your comfort and Your peace would rest upon them. I pray for Annette that's in the assisted living. I pray for Bill that's in the nursing home. I pray for Wilma Graves this morning. I pray for each and every one that we know and those that we don't know this morning. I'm asking You to get into their heart and into their life today, that they will see and understand that You're with them in this situation right now. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are elderly today. And I pray for the church, the precious saints of God, Lord, that You would go with us and that You would bring us back together to worship You and do the will of God together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning. Again, thank you for coming, and we will look forward to seeing you Wednesday night at 7:30. God bless you.